Boo Madoo here with the Grinding Scheme of Things. In this episode, I get a chance to recap an event and also answer a question or a combination of questions that were posed during a talk that I gave at the State University of New York at Buffalo. And that talk was about, you know, blueprints to success, specifically addressing strategies for overcoming procrastination. But some of the questions that were in the crowd had to do with how to manage competing interests or competing deadlines and priorities, and sort of juggling that world of activities and tasks. So in this episode, I share in full form, reviewing a visual presentation that you can get access to through our 24 Blueprint portal. I share and I go over old model, new model of how to handle these types of challenges and why the new model works and why it makes sense. So if you struggle with, you know, feeling that you're always in the accordion center of completing competing deadlines and competing tasks or commitments, this is the episode that can help you clarify how to operate and how to execute under those circumstances. All right, thanks a lot for checking out this episode of the Grind Scheme Podcast, and I will see you or listen out for you on the other side. All right, shout outs to the State University of New York at Buffalo for hosting the last Blueprints for Success event this past week. I want to thank you and salute you for your time and your attention. And for those who follow me online or listen to the podcast, I wanted to use this opportunity to also address a question that the students and some of the faculty members who were there had posed that I got a chance to answer in part, but I want to go a little bit deeper into that question. And the question was how to manage conflicting commitments or competing commitments that have, you know, competing deadlines. Okay. This is like the world that the average engineering student has to confront. You know, you've got your chemistry exam on Thursday. You also have maybe a gen ed, you know, paper that you need to turn in. And then you've got your physics exam the next day that you need to study for. And then, you know, you have maybe a student government type of an event, and you're an officer in that particular organization, and you've got to be available to provide things. I mean, you've got all kinds of situations like this, right? So how do you manage these commitments? And so in order to do this, I wanted to address, and I'm going to revisit some of the things I talked about. So for the State University of New York, the Buffalo students who are watching this or hearing this, this is going to sound familiar because you've already heard it, right? But for the people who've never heard it or did not see the presentation, this is going to be new for them. So just bear with me, okay, as I recap. So there's an old way that we look at sort of time restrictions and deadlines. And it is based on logic. It is based on there's a certain arbitrariness that I believe we approach these things with. And there's a certain sentimentality, right? A way that we make ourselves wrong when we don't, you know, follow through, or we don't finish or submit something at a particular deadline and we get overwhelmed. This is the old way of handling these types of situations. And there's a smarter way, which I believe is a psychological, quantifiable, and pragmatic approach to addressing these competing challenges, okay, and deadlines. And yes, there are all kinds of tools that can help you, you know, plan better and sequence things better. But in some cases, like I mentioned, the issue is really primarily rooted and founded on a particular kind of mindset that we are approaching and looking at our commitments from. Okay. So where do we even start? And I'll start similar to what I did in the presentation or sharing during the presentation, which is this. We have to start with where our mind is beginning, but, you know, you can say beginning and or before we take on these commitments. And I want you to think for a moment that when you are awake, and for those of you who are listening to the audio version of this, there is a visual reference presentation that's going on that I'm walking people through. So if you think about your mind and what goes on in it on any given day. And I'm using some student illustrations, but for you, if you're a business owner or an entrepreneur or an adult that's, you know, between 24 and 54, or 25 and 54, and you have children, you have your version of these same challenges. But similarly to the students, all these things are still on your mind. So the first thing I have on the screen here is that in your mind on any given day, depending on what day of the week it is, you're thinking thoughts such as, I got to stop at the grocery store and pick up some food. Or I'm running out of ketchup. I'm running out of mustard. I got to run to the store. Then if you're a student, I've got to prep for this class tomorrow. And then if you're realizing that you're mentally a little bit more stressed, you're thinking, okay, I need to start meditating, or maybe I need to register for a yoga class. Then you're thinking, oh man, you know what? I've got this class on Tuesday. How did I do on the last exam? Did I even check my grade on that? If you're a part of a student organization, you're thinking, okay, I volunteered for such and such a thing. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make that. And in the back of your mind, you're also thinking, I've got to get some laundry done. I'm down to my last pair of fill in the blank. Okay. Then you're thinking, okay, I've got to make time to connect with my study group on this assignment that's coming up, because I know I won't be able to do that on my own. And I have to make sure I set my alarm to wake up by 8 o'clock in the morning. And of course, I've got to go over my finances, because I know such and such a bill is coming through and I need to make sure that that's paid. And I need to make sure that I either make dinner, I'll figure out if someone's going to grab dinner or if I need to order dinner. Okay. And is there going to be a pop quiz today? Because I know we haven't had one in a while, and this professor is notorious for having pop quizzes. And then, oh my gosh, it's cold, right? Especially if you're going to school upstate. And then what time is that group meeting tomorrow that I need to have to make sure that that homework is done? And I'm so tired. I need to get some sleep. And then you're thinking, man, you know, I got to call so-and-so back, because they've messaged me, they've texted me, they keep blowing up my phone. I got to get back to them. Then you got to think, okay, I need to finish these financial aid forms, make sure I submit that before the deadline. And I've got to pick up the mail, because I'm expecting some mail to come in. And by the end of this week, I do need to schedule this doctor's appointment. And then, I haven't spent some time with my friends in a while. I know they've been telling me they miss me. I need to coordinate that time. If you have a significant other, you got to coordinate time to spend time with your significant other. And then the weekend is coming and you're like, oh man, I got to figure out what I'm doing this weekend, because I am so stressed. Then you're thinking to yourself, midterms are coming up. I need to start figuring out what my game plan is to prepare for that. And then this is my junior year. Or if you're a sophomore, you know, thinking, okay, I got to find an internship. I am having such a hard time staying awake. Let me grab some Starbucks. And what am I doing? What am I working on today? Like, what's my priority? Right? You start thinking that, and then you got to check your email. And then while you're checking your email, you realize, like, oh, I have not checked my Instagram in a while. Let's see. I see all these likes and all these notifications. I haven't checked them. Then on top of that, don't forget to check your TikTok. And after that, if you're looking at, you know, some Twitter beef that's happening, you got to go on there and check that out. And then, oh, if you're a video game person, you haven't gotten a chance to escape playing your PlayStation or your Xbox. You got all this going on in your mind in any given moment. In any given moment. And so we're worried about these competing commitments. What about these competing thoughts and where they belong and where they should go? Because when you don't have all these competing thoughts in your mind, you can actually make clearer, better decisions about what to allow as your commitment. And you can actually probably see deadlines a little bit clearer. Okay, so if you just heard everything that I just walked through, for those who are just listening to the audio, you know, you now realize that for you to make deadlines, you want to have a clearer mind. So let's look at, you know, again, for the students who were there, you already saw this diagram that I have up, which is a full-time student's life. Okay, and the average student, according to a survey that I pulled up, they are trying to sleep 8.6 hours a night. And, you know, it says leisure and sports, 3.8 hours. Okay. That means, okay, if you're going to play pickup ball with your people, but I think leisure and sports could be blended into our social media time use. Okay, right now, by default. right? We're using up a lot of time for the social media stuff. So if you add the 8.6 hours plus the 3.8, you're definitely looking at 12 hours of your day gone, at least. Half of your day is gone. And then everything else by default is a combination of grooming, self-care, traveling between classes, make sure you got time to eat something, and which then leaves about 3.5 hours, maybe 5 to 6 hours. If you're lucky, right? If you're not also working, you get 3 to maybe 6 hours of work time, a time for you to get work done. So when it comes to competing commitments, first of all, it's a matter of, I'll say more about this in a moment. Let's actually take a quick look at those who are parents or adults who are between 25 and 54. Okay. Similarly, you're spending about almost 8 hours trying to get some rest, and you're spending another 8 to 9 hours, if we include commute time, on trying to get work done. Right. So right out of the gate, we are looking at about 20 hours of our day gone, because there's also self-care that's embedded in these 20 hours. You got it, almost 8 hours of sleep that you're trying to get. You got an additional 9 hours of work, again, if you include commuting, right? And then another 4 or so hours, 3 to 4 hours that you're spending on self-care activities, right? Which brings you right up to 20 hours or so of your day. So we're not actually at the top, just coming off the top. We're not dealing a lot of times when we're making commitments. We're not dealing with the reality of our day, of a day, period. If you knew, hey, listen, on any given day, I only really have, if I'm lucky, 3 to 4 hours to work on anything in an uninterrupted kind of way, you would say yes to less and no to more. So if we're honest, what we're really looking for is we want to be able to imagine our lives where we no longer are blindsided by overthinking and getting overwhelmed and overcommitting ourselves and stretching ourselves thin and stressing ourselves out and being on edge. That's the dream life. And if you want to continue on that path, you want to also imagine, if you can do that, you want to be able to have time to plan and think ahead and find your me time without the guilt, and find satisfaction and meaning in everything you're doing. The key word here is going to be meaning in everything you're doing. So the idea and the answer that I have about this is that there's a certain time blindedness that happens. And you can call it time blindness or time blindedness. At the end of the day, we don't see, most of us don't see, it didn't even realize. And as I saw in this one particular presentation, most of us didn't realize that those hours that I mentioned that are available to us, that was that actually how much time. One student during this event that I participated in, I mentioned to them, to use a particular sheet that was handed out. I said, listen, block out all the times that you just know are already committed, sleep and self-care time, everything. How much time do you actually have left? And they were like, oh, I only have 3 hours. And they had, and then I said, okay, great. And what did you, what were you expecting to get done in those 3 hours? She was like, oh, well, I had like two or three papers to finish, and I had this, that, and the third to do, so on and so forth. But you probably had about 7 or 8 hours worth of work that she thought she had. And then on top of that, she had to make dinner, right? And maybe do a little bit of food prep and shopping. Okay. And she was trying to do all of that in 3 hours. She didn't know that she didn't have that much time to get these things handled or get these things done. And she's just like all of us, when we think we have a full day to get something done, and it doesn't get done. Why? Because we thought we had 18 hours, AKA all day, to get something done. And really, what we had, if we were lucky, was maybe 2.5 after all the busy work was handled and all the fires were put out. Okay. So handling this overcommitment and the conflicting interests and deadlines. First of all, we actually have to see what time are we actually doing stuff. Like, what time is actually available? If you don't know that you only have 3 hours available for something, and in your mind, you believe and you feel that you should be able to get 17 hours of work done in three, you are always going to lose that emotional game of satisfaction because you will never feel like you did enough. And then you'll pressure yourself to try to squeeze 17 hours of work in 3 hours, and then look in the mirror and tell yourself that you're a loser. Right? That's what our life revolves around, is these miscalculations of time. We do it all the time. Right? Whether it's in the, yeah, I'll be there in 5 minutes, and then there's traffic, to I've got a flight at three, and now, you thought you had enough time, and now you got to take a cab instead of a bus. I mean, you name it. This is happening all the time. And so if we really started to have our systems set up where we are aware and we are not blinded by how much time we actually have to commit to things, we can genuinely, authentically reply no to these commitments. Now, I get it. On the student level, you've got, hey, you're doing a 15 or 17 credit semester, right? Or 20 something credit semester. I don't even know how that's all squeezed in there, but whatever your credits are, each class has a certain number of hours and commitments of the assignments, depending on what needs to be done, whether it's, time to read, time to actually do the work, right? Including time in class. I mean, you name it, it's there. Okay. And so from the top of the semester, you should already know. Not like you should already know, but you can start to calculate where and how that work is going to be done. Is it going to be done every other week, every 2 weeks? And, when are the assignments, and identifying what those pockets of time are that that work is going to be done. But that's the work you've got to do. Right? Now, for the adults in the whole time blindedness thing, it's kind of similar because you got all the responsibilities you have. And you saw, as I shared, a weekday, 20 hours of your weekday are gone out of the gate. Okay. Now, if we're talking about managing your work life, right, that whole situation and who you're saying and what you're committing yourself to, it's kind of similar too. Because if you think about your duties and your responsibilities, core function or a core baseline of that is probably like, okay, if you work supposedly 40 hours a week, maybe 23 or 32 hours of your week are spent on some basic activities, right? Or fundamental core activities. So anything you say yes to in surplus of your kind of standard commitments of duties and responsibilities, you're asking for trouble, right? So this cannot be overlooked. Knowing what it is that you actually are committed to by default, and then what time remains is critical. Okay. And so, with that time remaining, we have to get into like this whole idea of purpose. The thing that you really feel is like your reason for doing the thing. It's hard to actually push yourself through something that you just feel like has no meaning, has no purposefulness. Right. So, you're an engineer or engineering student. You're trying to, okay, purpose, want to get a job, purpose, want to, inspire my younger brothers and sisters, or purpose, make mom and dad proud, or, purpose, I'm going to be the first in my family to graduate, or purpose, I've always had a dream of being a video game developer, and I just feel like it would be such a rewarding experience to step into that career. Press purpose. I feel like, God put me on this earth to get this thing done. Okay, when things start lacking this sort of purposefulness, that also means we say yes to things that are not in line with our purposefulness. And then there's the stress that comes with that, which then leads to the procrastination in whatever form that it takes. So purposefulness, knowing the rationale why behind work, behind what we're doing is incredible. It has to be remarkable for us. Again, if not, we invite the pain and the struggle of trying to push ourselves to do things that we don't want to do. Okay. So evaluating and genuinely asking, why am I doing this? And getting reminded of the purposefulness behind what we're doing is another thing that we cannot be blind to or afford to neglect, which leads us to this notion of meaning. And meaning, I just kind of boiled it down to these three things, right? There's meaning as far as the status that we gain from accomplishing or completing something. There's, in some cases, the money. And then there's another scenario of acceptance or relationships or attention. Okay. So this meaning part, this is the part that's a little sneaky. Because the pressure that we put on ourselves is that we believe if we don't get this done or get that done or say yes to this or say no to that, and somebody else says yes to it, we lose face and then we lose in status. Or in some cases, we lose out on a financial opportunity, which is the money. Or we become, less accepted, or we're not in the in crowd, or we won't be part of a particular community. And we're not honest, I believe, sometimes about why we are trying to pursue something in a particular way. It's a little bit uncomfortable to say, hey, I want to do this because I want to elevate my status. And a lot of times, sometimes the people that we want to elevate our status for, around are people that we really don't identify with, but we just want to be favored in their eyes. And so we're pushing ourselves to get to a place that we really don't really want to be in, but somehow, some way, it's driving us. And we haven't taken a step back to look. And then, of course, by default, the money part, like Kanye says in his song, la, 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 wait till I get my money right. Right? We want to be able to have those bragging rights of, financial wins. And that's okay too, as long as you can completely own it and know that this is what's driving you and that this is what's also worth getting stressed about. If you can own that, you're good. But if you don't realize that that's what's driving you, or you're trying to hide that that's what's driving you, stress and everything else that comes with it is going to roll out. And then there's acceptance, right? The reason why we might be doing something is like, man, I want to fit in. I'm going to do this because I want to belong. I don't want to be on the outside. I don't want to be marginalized, for not reaching this particular level, this outcome. So remember, I mentioned this smarter way has to do with psychology, is understanding why is it that you are operating how you're operating. And if you don't follow through, or if something doesn't come out the way you thought it was going to come out, does it mean that you've lost status? Does it mean that you're not accepted or that you don't belong? Being able to reevaluate, as you hear me share about in a moment, and look at your motives is mission critical. Because when you can honestly embrace, hey, my motive right now is to gain in status, to gain in money, to gain in notoriety, to belong, to be accepted, to get some attention. If you can be honest with that, with yourself, then you can renegotiate these competing commitments. And then you can say, all right, look, I want to focus on these three things right now because these are the three things, because status matters to me. The money matters to me. And therefore, my schedule needs to reflect that status and money matter to me, or that status, money, and belonging matter to me. Right? We can't fool ourselves around this stuff. And so the more we realize what our true motives are behind things, the easier it is for us to make commitments that are consistent with them. But again, if we're not honest with ourselves, then we got to use our energy to try to hide that motive, which then shows up in the stress and then shows up in the procrastination, because we just know some way, somehow, even if we get these things handled, the status and the money or the belonging is not going to be enough, or the attention is not going to be enough to like drive whatever the deficit is. So my proposition is that we start to reevaluate why you are saying yes to all the things you're saying yes to. Reevaluate why you neglect the things you're neglecting, whether it's a combination of your health, your relationships, or your emotional well-being, or your mental health, you name it. Right? Or maybe even it's a matter of reinvesting where your money is going to go, whether it's investing in tutors or mentors or certain resources or programs or trainings that can help you along. But there's a necessary step to take here with reevaluating what you're doing and why you're doing it, the way you're doing it, and the way you're going about it. Okay. Without this reevaluation, there's also a lot of trouble that we're going to get into by overcommitting, which then, of course, leads to the overthinking. And why did I do this? And I thought, if I did this, I'd be more accepted, or I'd be a good situation. Whatever the thing is, you got to reevaluate it. And sometimes reevaluating it requires, or it's helpful to have, mature people in your life or around you to talk to you, to guide you, to coach you, to work through it. I talk about the five kingdoms of life in my presentation because these are the areas of life that it makes it easier for you to evaluate, right? I talk about the five kingdoms being, faith, fellowship, finances, feelings, and fitness. Another way to describe it would be your spirituality, your social life, your financial life, your emotional life, or your physical well-being. And to be practical, the spirituality is really a matter of your level of self-confidence. It's reflected in your level of self-confidence. What you believe about yourself and your own sense of purpose is reflected in that. And I believe in, scoring yourself on a scale of 1 to 5 and saying, okay, how am I doing? 1 being extremely unsatisfied, 5 being extremely satisfied. And when you start to put the pieces of the puzzle together and you say, okay, this thing that I'm involved in, this thing that I'm working on, is it going to help me, feel or move in the direction of being a 5 spiritually, or a 5 socially, or a 5 financially, or a 5 emotionally, or a 5 physically? When you start to use this sort of scale to evaluate your motives, you have a healthier alternative. And without doing this kind of thinking, you're going to blindly continue to invite situations and circumstances that are going to stress you out, and that you're going to be upset with yourself for not, following through on. But it's going to be like a false kind of upset, because it's probably something that you might have not said yes to, or you would have thought about differently before you said yes to it. The last thing I also want to say, just to close this out, is I noticed that we are, because of our sort of, let's just say, people-pleasing tendencies, we don't want to say no to things, or we don't want to, change deadlines because we don't want to let people down. I'm just here to share with you. Get used to having to let people down. But what I mean by letting people down is letting them down early. Hey, can you do this? You know what? I took a look at my calendar. I took a look at my blueprint. And no. You know, when we're working with blueprints, right? Once a blueprint is set up, it gets very expensive, depending on what part of the structure you're trying to change things on, where it's called a change order. Okay. And when you have to do a change order, depending on what needs to be changed, whether it's materials, or redirecting something because you ran into an obstruction when you were digging the foundations or whatever it is, it's going to cost you to change the order of things. And this is where, subcontractors start to salivate because they know the minute something has to get changed from what it was originally bid at, one of the things that happens is this is their opportunity to try to stick it to you as the project owner. Okay? Because now they're going to say, oh, well, it's going to cost me this much to get more of my guys on the job that I didn't plan on having on the job. And they're going to have to work nights to just stay on schedule. I mean, you name it. You get all kinds of proposals for that change order, and it's going to cost you. And so, without being clear on what your own blueprint is when it comes to knowing where you want to be in each of these five categories or kingdoms, it's always going to be expensive. It's always going to cost you something spiritually, socially, financially, emotionally, physically. Because you're now having to accommodate change orders. But if you're clear on what your blueprint is coming out of the gate, and what your rating goals are, it's easier for you to say no to things. So when someone does make a proposal, hey man, why don't we do this, that, and the third? You say, you got you now you can say, all right, that's not gonna help me, maintain this social kingdom. That's not going to help me maintain where I want to be emotionally. So you can say no. And if you get into the slippery slope of trying to explain your no, that's even more stressful, right? Because now we're having to put ourselves in a position to answer to people's opinions versus just being like, no, I'm not. Thanks for the invite. And just letting it go. Okay. So I want to close out with just a thank you and an acknowledgement. For those who, again, who were at this Blueprint event, thank you for being there. It was a great opportunity to speak with you and connect with you. And for those who are now seeing this or hearing this for the first time, I want to thank you for your time and your attention as well. Again, there's ongoing conversations and discourse. This is not a one and done thing. Be a part of the community, the 25 Blueprint community. Is a there's a growth community online that you can participate in and be a part of where you can ask questions and get questions answered and addressed in a way that helps and supports you. And such as the question that we addressed tonight, which is, hey, how do you balance these commitments? Part of it is just really knowing what your blueprint really needs to look like and what it is and what matters to you on your blueprints. And what you will not compromise on based on how your blueprint is set up. If you don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to blueprints, download a playbook. Make sure you download a playbook. Okay. There's one that's currently available on the 25 Blueprint site. I'll leave the description details below. Or the details in the description section below. But it's important to just know what are your blueprints and what is your score. What is your blueprint score? Okay. So you know where you're starting off at. So that when you start to say yes, right, those yeses should be improvements on your score or things that help you improve your score. Okay. So using a blueprint playbook kind of gets you started. And then using the planner kind of helps you maintain or see. What does it look like for you to improve that score by how your schedule is arranged? Okay. While some people might want sort of like a quick pill sort of solution, there are some quick pill-like solutions to this whole process. But at the end of the day, there is a maturity and evolution to this. where you really start to understand that no one's going to care about your spiritual, your social, your financial, your emotional, your physical well-being as much as you do. And you've got to have whatever your standards are inside of your own blueprint for your life that you don't budge off of. So that means when someone puts you in a situation to be compromising against your own sort of stress boundaries, you can say no because you just know that that's consistent with your blueprint. Right? And you're also not going to get wrapped up or caught up in quote unquote disappointing people. Why? Because your blueprint has its own values. Okay? So there's more, of course, on the subject. If you have questions, feel free to send them over as well. But I hope this has been helpful. And to be also very particular about this, it might be helpful to book a coaching call where we can look at your calendar and your schedule and what your commitments are and flesh this all out. Okay. And when you flesh it out, this is when you start to see, like, oh, you know, I really only have 2.5 hours a day to work on anything. So why am I stressing about trying to squeeze 18 hours of work and 2 hours of work time? Right. And when you can kind of see that for what it is, you make different decisions. You just say, you know, this class over here or this commitment over here is just going to have to suffer. Or maybe I just need to, you know, for sure, step away, step down, or whatever that I need to do in order for me to have this time for me to work on this particular thing. It was so not easy during the collegiate years. There's so many things, so many hats I was trying to wear. I mean, I don't even know how I made it out alive. Really, it was crazy, you know? So overall, you've got to, you know what your boundaries and your blueprints are saying and are telling you. And once you know what they are, it's easier for you to manage and navigate those commitments. And therefore, you won't have them be conflicting or competing. If anything, you'll have them be complementing. Right? So, more on that in future pieces of content to be shared. But I hope you got value out of this. And like I mentioned, if you need to book a coaching call, please feel free to do that. And let's make sure we help you move in the right direction of whatever your commitments and your vision is for yourself or your life. All right. Thanks a lot for checking this out, and I'll catch up with you guys soon. All right. Thank you for listening to this Grind Scheme of Things podcast. So hopefully by now you kind of get a sense that part of whether it's breaking through the procrastination tendencies that we have or managing the competing commitments and deadlines, sometimes it's just really a matter of us mastering the art of what to say no and what to say yes to. I know that sounds, you know, too simple, too good maybe to be true. But in truth, if all you have is 3 to 4 hours to really execute, follow through, or work on something on any given day, why would you say yes to 18 hours of work? It doesn't add up. The math isn't mathing. So at the end of the day, we are 100% responsible for what we say yes to.